He's the newest lead color analyst for TCU football. Once upon a time, not that long ago, he was on the sidelines here at the University of Memphis leading that football program. He's a friend of the show. He's a friend of mine. He joins us now. Justin Fuente, how you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome. How are you? How is everybody in Memphis, Tennessee?
I think, you know, to be honest, we're a little demoralized today. If we're going to have a candid conversation, I think you understand that. Although you weren't really – was conference realignment – was that something that was on your desk?
Well, I took the job, and we were in the Conference USA. And in my mind, I was like, man, you know, obviously the program wasn't in good shape when we took it. But I was like, man, Conference USA, like, that's not that good. Like, it won't take us that much to be competitive in Conference USA. And after a year, we announced we were going to the Big East, and we traded some of those teams in Conference USA for, like, Louisville. So it was a little bit of a rocky road to start, but it certainly was not anywhere, you know, like it is now, where we're talking about the level of money and the aspirations that I think we all have for Memphis athletics to get in one of those big boy leagues.
So, look, it's a hell of a charge to put on you. But if you were to, you know, tell Memphis fans something right now about, you know, its future and its place in college athletics, like, is there a hopeful message out there?
Well, I'm sure everybody's looking for answers, and quite honestly, I don't have them. But I do know that this game or this race is too important to lose, and I do not think that it's over. You know, I don't think Memphis has lost. Yesterday didn't go as well as they thought. I think, first, we should sit back and, like, give the administration a round of applause. I mean, they didn't get the result they wanted, but everything I've read, you know, they've done an incredible job of putting forth a plan and a vision, getting financial support. Obviously, FedEx plays a huge role and always will. It didn't turn out the way they wanted it, but I don't even know if that was possible 15 years ago to put something like that together. Yeah. And I think they deserve some credit and a pat on the back for their vision and their effort. I don't think it's over. I mean, SMU got turned down multiple times before they eventually were accepted into the ACC. And they've gone too far to stop now. Like, you just don't know what's around the corner and what crazy bounces and hops this thing. Who would have thought that Stanford would be in the ACC? I mean, that's the most outrageous thing anybody could ever dream of, right? Like, you just don't know. So while it's disappointing, and certainly not the answer everybody was hoping for, it's no reason to cash in your chips or give up. You've got to keep plugging away.
What do you see, Coach, when you look at the job that Ryan Silverfield has done? 21 wins over the last 2 years, and John was just pointing to, you know, there's an ESPN metric out there, an SP Plus metric that says he's the 16th best coach in the country. When you can, you know, you compare, throw in all the factors, and so there are some lists that have him pretty high. How would you, you know, sort of rate where Memphis football is, what's left to get? Because you are now, it is different, Coach, in the sense, and you helped get it here, but you're the most resourced program. At least that's what the athletic director and everybody outside the power structure tells us. Right, in the group of five. And so how close are you to maximum capacity and where you should be operating? We've all been talking about it. You know, the one thing that's eluded Ryan is the conference titles. How important are they?
Well, first of all, I'd say two things can be true at once.
Absolutely.
Like, last year can be an incredibly successful year, which I think by virtually almost every metric it was. And you can also be disappointed that they didn't get a chance to play for and win the conference championship, because I think it was pretty obvious that they were one of the best one or two teams in the league, and particularly by the end of the year. And so two things can be turned once. You can be really proud of that and happy about that, and also disappointed that you didn't get that chance. I believe it's always difficult to win, But I believe it's a little bit easier now to win once and much, much harder to win consistently with the way the rules are. And I don't think Ryan Silverfield gets enough credit for the consistency. I mean, he took over in the middle of COVID, or in, you know, the COVID year, which you can just throw that out the window. But the consistency with which he's operated his program, I think, has been fantastic. He's done an incredible job. What's the ceiling? What's the limit? I mean, you want to have your program measured by contending for and winning championships. And I don't want to put words in Coach Silverfield's mouth, but I think that's his expectation every day when he goes into work. So, you know, contending for and winning the American Conference Championship, or whatever they call it now, just the American or whatever it is, I should be at the top of their list, trying to make it to the playoffs, so on and so forth. But I think what we lose sometimes is the ability to applaud the consistency, because the way the rules are, it's even harder to be consistent now than it's ever been.
Well, Justin, they are proud members of the American.
Yes.
Just so everybody is clear about that. Like, let's all just forget the $250 million offer. Let's just post the picture. We're proud to be an American.
Yeah, right. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty. Let me ask you this. I mean, you took over Memphis in 2011, 2012?
Yeah, 12.
Yeah. So, can you fathom the idea of Memphis being the most well-funded program in its league?
Well, I can now, but I don't know if I could have been. I mean, I said this a lot, and I really believed it. And Ryan and Mike deserve a tremendous amount of credit. Like, the place has so much potential, and has always had the potential, and is now, in my estimation, I hope the fans living up to that. I mean, putting out an incredible product year in and year out, continuing to invest in the facilities and the players and the coaching staff. So, it's not something I would have thought of, but because we were so far removed from having even dreams like that, but now I think it's certainly understandable and should be expected.
I know it's taking you back, and we've probably asked you to touch on it, but I'm just trying to envision the look on your face when they came in there. And I heard Gabe Kuhn talking about the story the other day, right? A group of players saying, well, you gotta have Jacob Karam out there, right? I mean, Gabe said they came into the office, and you're like, get the hell out of my office. But I mean,
like Willie Harrington,
like Willie Harrington, like former Memphis Mayor Willie Harrington, get the hell out of my. But that moment that they walked in, and this coup was, you know, they had this plan to get Jacob Karam in. Can you take us through just what was sort of going through your head as that was happening?
Well, so I knew they were there. So, first of all, I made them sit out in the hallway for about half an hour. So, I stayed in the staff room. So, I made them stay out in the hallway. I'm like, okay. And I knew what they wanted. So, I had somebody say, okay, tell me exactly who's out there. And so, they give me the list of guys. So, I'm like going through each one of them in my mind, because I'm going to have a little something for each one of them. So we had just played Houston in a game that I swear was 140 degrees in a soccer stadium. I mean, it was just miserable. We were awful, just awful, particularly on offense. And so I get a list of the guys, and so I've got like all their grade sheets from the game. So like, again, I'm not going to call people out on the carpet, but I want to know, you know, who did what in the game.
Yep.
So I sit down, and like, it's like they want to draw straws for who's going to talk first, as they're all just sitting around. So I sit down, somebody finally speaks up, says, this is what we think we should do. And so then I proceeded to go person by person, and I don't want to say all the kids' names, but I can remember most of them right now. But I went person by person, Well, I'm glad to know that it's Paxton Lynch's fault that on third and three, our right guard, who's sitting right here, couldn't block the defensive tackle for Houston. And I'm glad to know that our middle linebacker who missed the tackle on fourth and four, I'm glad that that was Paxton Lynch's fault. And then the wide receiver that dropped the ball on second and eight, I'm glad to know that that was, you know, basically just I mean, it was like, I'm pretty proud of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you had your ducks in a line. Clearly, you had your ducks in a line.
Yeah,
you were ready.
Yeah, like, so, I mean, I earned a good reputation as a good butt chewer, and that was one of my better ones, I must say. So, I sent them out the door after I finished all that with their tails tucked between their legs and told them I'd be sure and ask him next time I wanted to know who was going to play quarterback for us.
Oh, Verno had him lost in the sauce, Coach. You know, the whole piano man. That's what you.
Oh, yeah. He was gonna start an uprising.
It aged pretty well for you, ultimately, I would say. Paxton ended up having a pretty good career at the University of Memphis. You guys won a lot of games.
We weren't good enough around him. Like, it wasn't. And Paxton was learning, too. But,
yeah.
I mean, it was. Like, and I caught a lot of crap for it, and I get it. Like, that's part of the job. But, like, there was a whole lot of things that we needed to fix that didn't necessarily center around him. But, boy, when it clicked the next year, it was beautiful.
No question. We're talking to Justin Fuente, brand-new lead color analyst for TCU football, obviously former Memphis football coach here. Obviously, you sort of – you're a natural at it. Obviously, you're great at it. But it just sort of feels like – I don't want to, you know, speak for you, but it just you're choosing to do this job. You're not getting back into coaching, or you haven't gotten back into coaching. Is that a sort of conscious decision? Like, this is not for me anymore because the world has changed so much around me. Because it feels like you've had chances over the years and you have not yet done it. Just sort of take me through your thinking here.
Sure. Yeah, I've had opportunities, and I'd say it's two things. One, the whole thing's changed so much that, again, I know this comes off as the old man that's just talking about the good old days, but I get what we're trying to do, and I haven't given up hope that we'll get our arms wrapped around college athletics a little bit better than we have now, but that's just not what I'm super interested in doing right now. And when you combine that with where I'm at in my personal life with my family, it's more like I'm not comfortable stepping back into that lifestyle right now. The amount of work that it really takes to go do a great job, that's just not on my radar right now. My kids got so much going on. I'm enjoying being a bigger part of their life. It's time for me. It's really time for me, for their stuff to be more important than my stuff. Is really where I'm at right now. So, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think I'll probably continue to enjoy their activities for the foreseeable future.
In terms of Memphis, is it fair at this point, Coach, from what you see, and like you talked about, you know, John touched on it, I touched on it, most resourced out of the group of five, is it fair for John and I to hold that program to an expectation of, well, now you should be Boise State? Well, now you should be Tulane, and I say it in this sense, Coach, that those programs now get the benefit of the doubt every year in their conferences, right, where no matter who the quarterback is, or in Tulane's case, the coach now, I know people have a high, you know, sort of opinion of Sumrall, but he got that benefit of the doubt. They're sort of held to that, hey, we'll finish, you know, top one, top two in our conference. Should that be the expectation of the Memphis football program at this time with where it's gotten to?
Well, I mean, you guys are going to do it anyway, right?
That's right. If you tell us no, well, we're still going to do it. That's the truth.
No, we wouldn't do it if it was 2012.
But I want to know what you think, though. That's the
Yeah, I mean, that's yes. How's that? Yeah. Like
that's what I thought.
That's where it's at, right? That's where it's at. Now, what that doesn't mean is you go 8-4 and you have to fire everybody on staff.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, that's not what that means.
Yes.
But I think it's completely fair. Now, again, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. I don't know who's on the roster this year for Memphis, but I know who's not on the roster. I know who had been on the roster for several years there and had played really well. And I'm sure they've gone out and gotten a bunch of good players. But My point is, I think it's fair. The expectations have been raised,
Which is a good thing.
It's a great thing. Like, it's a great thing. Yeah, that we should expect them to be very, very good.
Yeah, and again, it's like whether that's Memphis basketball, like it's like when you just and it's crazy that we talk like this, right, Justin? Like when you have the most money. Like, I mean, there used to be so taboo in college athletics, and now it's like, you know, these kids' deals get posted on social media. Like, the backup quarterback at Memphis, get this, is going to be making $1 million this year, probably more. The backup quarterback at Memphis. I mean,
At a baby, and America's awesome, isn't it?
I mean, it is. It's a new world, man. So for TCU, have you been doing any? I know you've done some bowl games. You've been doing some radio. Have you done their games yet at any level?
I have. No, I have not done a TCU game.
Gotcha.
I have done a handful of bowl games over the last several years, and I've been to a couple spring practices, and I'll go. They start fall camp on August 1st, and I'll make the trip down there.
Got it.
Quite a bit over the first couple weeks of fall camp.
And so does it feel good to kind of be back sort of in the TCU? I mean, that's where, you know, you were the co-offensive coordinator. And I got to say, like, at the time, I was like, damn, like, Memphis is hiring a co-offensive coordinator? Like, he's not even, like, the main one? But that is where you got your, you know, it sort of feels like you got your wings in football a little bit.
Yeah, that's where kind of the impetus for everything we tried to do at Memphis was from what I had learned from Coach Patterson at TCU. And it feels good to be back there. It's a place that I always enjoyed working there. You know, like, it's just, they're just good people. And so it's fun to be around them. I don't want to be there every day. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm not trying to go figure out, I'm certainly not in there to try and tell them what to call on third down, but I don't mind watching practice. I enjoy being around football, and, you know, during the season, I'll watch some film and then go to the games and, you know, hopefully try and describe to people that are listening what's happening.
And then lastly, because I'm just so, you know, interested in sort of the way you view the game, like, in terms of who's handling the new world well, in terms of, you know, that coach who's navigating it, like, whose work do you respect, like, out there? Like, whose work are you saying, damn, he's doing a good job, you know, at his place? Is there a guy out there that you just think that highly of?
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of guys that have done really good jobs in really difficult places. You know, Barry Owens is as good a football coach as you can find. And I'm partial because I have worked with Barry and have known him for a long time. But, I mean, he did just an incredible job at UNLV, and he's got his hands full at Purdue. I mean, that program was not in very good shape when they started, but will be in very short order. But I don't know. I've kind of – some of the guys that I've known have phased out a little bit and kind of gotten like me, said, enough of this crap, like, let's go do something else. But I'm trying to think off the top of my head. You know, the guy that just stepped away that I thought was, I spent a week watching them practice, and NIL and this new world really hurt them. Dave Clawson at Wake Forest did as good a job as anybody I've ever seen. And they did a great job evaluating people and recruiting, and then when the NIL and all that stuff kicked in, like, they were just, they didn't have a shot. You know, they just didn't have much of a shot. But when it comes to coaching, they're not many better than him.
Yeah. Justin, you're the best, man. We got to get you back up for a Memphis football game here one of these days. We can crack open a Budweiser, watch a Memphis football game. We got to do it, man. We got to make it happen.
That would be awesome, man. We got to get some of the old players back too. I'd like to see them.
Not the ones that were outside of your office, but the other ones.
There were some good ones that were outside that door, though. There were some good ones, though.
And they were loyal. That's a good quality.
That's right. No doubt.
You're the best, Justin. Thanks for
doing this. Pleasure, man. Thank you, Coach.
See y'all.
Yes, sir.
He is Justin Fuente, TCU lead color analyst, former Memphis football coach. Great story there. I loved that. I don't know if he's told that, but I, you know, even if he did, it's always good.
Oh, how
to
hear. He got his ducks on the line beforehand.
Yeah, he was
wanted to know who was out there.
He has not told that story, I think, on the air yet. I think that's the first time I heard it.
Well, it's the statute of limitations, I think, has passed.
Yeah.
It's been about a decade. So, and
awesome
more
stuff.
I don't think Gabe was one of them outside of that office.
I don't think so.
The way he told the story didn't sound like it.
No, because he would have been young. He would probably been freshman.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you had the clout quite yet.
Not quite.
Yeah. So anyway, man, Justin is great, and you know, I always have such a connection with him because that's the first big story I ever broke in the Memphis in this Memphis sports scene was him getting the job at Memphis, and it wasn't even like I would never do that today with the information that I had at that time. It wasn't good enough to go on, right? But I was like, what? F it. I'm just going with it. What do I have to lose as a 19-year-old? You know. I'm gonna hope it's true, and it was true.